I just want to leave you this simple message. Jesus is in the house. Jesus is in the house. That's why we gather, because of Jesus Christ. I can feel him. I know he's here. He's present. He's in this house. He's here right now for you. Right now. This is why we celebrate. This is why we sing. This is why we get excited. For some of you, maybe the most excitement you've seen in the last couple of days is maybe watching the ball drop on TV. And everybody's hooping and hollering and shouting. But then they go home. But we keep coming back to Midtown. And we keep getting loud. And the ball drops, but Jesus is lifted higher and higher and higher. We keep rejoicing. Everybody else heads back to their country, their state. I mean, they came from all over the world. When the ball drops and they wait for another year to come back and shout and hoop and holler again. No, we do this all day, every day. Because he set us free. He has set us free. And he's real. Jesus is real. This is not just a casual religious experience when we come into Times Square Church here. We feel him. We know he's here. He's alive. He's our Savior. And I thank God for his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. I thank God. I was reading this story this week in the book of Mark, chapter 2. Just listen. This is talking about Jesus. He returns to a place called Capernaum after some days. He'd been traveling and preaching. And it's reported in the town that he was at home. And most likely the home that he was at was two of his disciples, two young men that they would follow Jesus and they would travel with him. One of them, their name was Peter. The other one was his brother, Andrew. And most likely in scripture here, they're talking about Andrew and Peter's house that Jesus showed up into this place called Capernaum. And many were gathered together so that there was no more room, not even at the door. And he, being Jesus, he was preaching the word to them. When scripture says he was preaching the word, it means he was preaching good news. He was in this house and he was telling everybody about how much his Father loved them. He was talking about God. He was talking about his Father's kingdom. Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God. His Father who had sent him down on this earth to preach good news, to lay hands on the sick and see them whole and healed again, to touch the eyes of those that were blind and suddenly they could see again. And so people found out that he was here in Capernaum, here in his house. And scripture says that when they found out that the crowd was so large that even in the doorway, there was nowhere you could get to get close. Jesus was probably right inside in the main section, probably as we would consider today, the living room. But it was crowded all the way out the door, spilling out the door, because there was no greater person that walked the face of the earth than Jesus Christ. And when he shows up, something special is going to happen. This is why this is not you just coming and visiting church. You can believe right now in faith. If you believe in faith, Jesus is going to change your life. And they came bringing to him a paralytic carried by four men. A man who was crippled, his nerves were shut down. So he's most likely half of his body just dormant, just frozen, just couldn't move. And they brought this man, he laid on a mat. And when they could not get near him because of the crowd, which means they couldn't even get near the door. So they come to the house, they find out that Jesus is here. These four men and this paralytic, and they get to the house and they can't even get to the door. They can't even get around to the back door. They can't get to the windows. There's nowhere to go. And so they removed the roof above them. And when they made an opening, they let down the bed on which the paralytic lay. So you got to picture this moment. And this time, the way the houses were built, they would grow grass and sod and clay on top. And most likely there were steps around the back end, which you can make your way up the back end and get to the top. And scripture says that these four men and this paralytic, without question decide, if we can't get through the front, we're going through the top. But you can almost imagine in this moment, for me, I wondered, man, there are some people that if they saw a crowd that large, they'd say, forget about it. Let's go home. There's no room. He's already busy enough. He's preaching such a good word that the crowd is large. They get it, but you know, for us, we got here too late. But it is never too late to get to Jesus. For those of you in the balcony, for those of you on the main floor, for those of you that are listening online, never too late. And don't assume that you don't have an appointed time with Jesus because you're seeing everybody else progress and move forward. It is never too late. And Jesus awaits those who would believe in faith and step out a little further with an urgency to change their life. And these four men and the paralytic, they decided, that's it. We're going to get to Jesus. We've come this far. Life has been a mess too long. And we're probably, most likely these four men, probably, look, we've carried you a long ways. Yeah, but I believe in faith right now that we got to get you to Jesus. Be careful who you spend time with. There will be some that will tell you, just go back home. Your life is messed up. It's going to be that way. And the church has no place for you. But there's always room in God's house. And if Jesus is in the house, get here, be here. Give your life to Jesus Christ. And believe in faith, and something's about to happen. So they get to the roof, and they break open the roof. And another portion of scripture in the Bible, it says that they had to break open the tiles to get him in. Now, that took some work. So this home was not only just grass built on top, but then the dirt and the clay and the sod. And then and I guess Peter and Andrew had built their home pretty well. They had laid tiles on their roofing. So it took some work to kind of break through the clay, break through the grass. It's a sloppy moment in this really just astounding picture that you get with this huge crowd pouring into the house. And then Jesus is preaching and suddenly dirt just starts falling through the roof. I'm sure there was a little bit of noise that was going on, but you know, everybody's glued to Jesus Christ, and he's preaching, he's talking about how much the Father loves us, and all of a sudden there's just dirt just starts trickling down. And then everybody starts kind of getting out of the way because pieces of tile are just dropping. And there's got to be this place that we can assume with these four men and this paralytic that they had decided that nothing was more important than getting to Jesus. They chose in that moment. It's going to be awkward. It's going to be slightly embarrassing. I'm sure Peter and Andrew are going to find this quite rude. We've just demolished their rooftop. But the paralytic, I believe in faith in Jesus Christ. I'm not worried about what people think about me. I need my life changed. So let me down. I've been in this position way too long. Let me down. Yeah, they're gonna stare at me. They're gonna talk about me. They're gonna look at me funny. But let me down. I'm getting to Jesus. I need my life changed. We've come this far. Let me down, my brothers. Hallelujah. Oh, then we're gonna let you down, bro. This is the craziest thing we've ever done. But you're going down. Slowly, you just let him down. You can imagine this guy just can't even move. But you gotta come to a place where you're not worried about what you look like. And you have to believe in faith that Jesus can do a transformative work in your life. You just got to just give your life to Jesus. So they let him down. Here in this moment, when Jesus saw their faith, hallelujah, I mean, he saw the faith of not just the paralytic, but he saw the faith of the four men that let him down too. And Jesus watching this whole thing happen, as the whole ceiling just gave out. And as they ropes probably tied to each end of his mat, as it just came down nice and slowly. And next thing you know, someone who has been in the backdrop all of his life is suddenly center stage with Jesus Christ. And he comes down. And Jesus saw their faith and he says to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Man, what an awesome, awesome word from Jesus Christ that is still a word for you and I today, that he desires to call you son. He desires to call you daughter. And the only way he can call you son and daughter is if you would step out in faith and believe in Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of the Father. He gave us his son, Jesus, that you and I would be adopted back into the kingdom of God. And that can only happen through Jesus Christ. He came down on this earth. It was the Father's will that he would come and that we'd be restored and that our sins would be forgiven. If you would believe in faith tonight, if you would believe in faith like the paralytic, believe in faith. And what happens when you believe in faith? Jesus says, "Son, daughter," which means you're mine. I love you. I want you in my kingdom. And if you believe in faith, you're mine and your sins are forgiven. You've heard Pastor Carter tonight talk about sin. It is those things. It is the wickedness of man's heart that has separated us from God. Our rebellion. It is the evil of man that has separated us from a righteous, holy God who should have wiped this out, but instead he gave us his son Jesus as a substitute to pay for the penalty of sin, which is death. And Jesus shows up and he dies in our place on a cross, an old rugged piece of wood in the form of a T. He goes to this cross and he dies. That's why he has the power to forgive sin. He's the Son of God. He has the power and the authority to call us sons and daughters. He said, if you've seen me, he told guys like Peter and Andrew, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. I've come to do the will of my Father. I have the power of my Father. I have the authority of my Father to set you free from sin, wipe it out, and you be free and live for me and be saved. This is why he can say it. Some religious people, they don't get it. So when he said this to the paralytic, some of these guys that were here said, who gives him the right to forgive sin? He's blaspheming. And then Jesus perceived their thoughts. He recognized that where their thinking was. And he asked them a question. He said, I love Jesus. He's so cool. He said, hey. What do you think? Is it easier for me to forgive sin or to tell him to rise up, pick up your bed and walk? Well, you know what? I'm not even going to give you time to answer that. So let me just explain to you right now that I have the authority to forgive sin and bring healing to his body. It's all one package with me. So, well, before you answer that question, young man, Mr. Paralytic, rise up, pick up your bed and go home. And the paralytic got up, picked up his bed, and started walking. Oh, glory to God! You see, Jesus desires to do a finished work in your life, a complete whole work, to bring healing and to bring forgiveness. Sin, mess, stuff that you've been up to, stuff that you feel ashamed about, stuff that you feel guilty about. Music ministry, could you come up here? We're getting ready to stand up and we're gonna pray. Hallelujah. We're gonna pray to a God who gave us his son, Jesus Christ, who is able to forgive sin tonight. And he wants to be your savior. He wants to be your savior. This is why he came. He came 2,000 years ago and he died on the cross. And through his death and resurrection, we have forgiveness of sins. Because of Jesus Christ who went to the cross, paid my sin debt. He said, you don't have to pay the price. You don't have to die, David Hamm. I died on the cross for you. All you have to do now is just repent, turn from your wicked ways, go in another direction, and receive my forgiveness through my finished work on the cross. My blood was shed for you. And my blood that was shed on the cross makes you whole. Son, your sins are forgiven. Daughter, your sins are forgiven. And when Jesus says it, that's it. It's done. It is finished. That's what he said on the cross. It's finished. And who the Son sets free is free indeed. It's the power of his word to set you free from sin. And you will no longer have to walk around with your head down, ashamed, walking into your home with your wife and your children, ashamed of what you're watching online. Ashamed because you're spending hours at the bar and you spend more time in communication with the girl at the bar than your own wife back at home. And wives who are finding just a kind of a peace of mind flirting with coworkers at your job because your husband doesn't give you any attention. And young people who are just wayward, just doing whatever you want to do. This free mentality says, I can do what I want to do. You're doing what you want to do keeps you in bondage. But tonight, Jesus desires to call you son and daughter. Your sins are forgiven. Chase after me in my righteousness. Because sin will leave you like the paralytic, wounded, crippled, unable to move anywhere in life. Now watch, will you stand up? Stand up with me. I'm gonna invite you to come down here and pray. And this is who I'm talking to. You in here, who need to know Jesus Christ as Savior. If you believe in faith, tonight your sins are forgiven. And Jesus desires to call you son and daughter, his own. When he says son and daughter, it's because he loves you. But this is what you're gonna have to do, and you're gonna make your way down here. You can make your way down here even as I'm talking. That's wonderful. Praise God. But you're gonna have to break through the rooftops of doubt and fear. You're gonna have to break through the rooftops of pride, young men. Some of you are dealing with rooftops of pride. You come to the roof and you're like, there's no way to get in. It is what it is. This is who I am. But you need a Savior. And I'm asking you now to break through the rooftops of pride, the rooftop of anger, the rooftops of bitterness. Let's break through these rooftops. And just like the paralytic, don't be ashamed of the crowd that's standing around right now. The paralytic wasn't ashamed. He was desperate for a Savior, Jesus Christ. And from the balcony to the main floor, I want you to come down here. And Jesus is going to forgive you of your sins. And you will not need to hang your head low in shame. Break through the rooftops of shame right now. We're going to worship the Lord for a little bit. And you just keep coming down. Don't let the rooftop stop you from coming to Jesus right now. Give your life to him. And some of you need to be like the four men that are around. Take the hand of a friend. Take the hand of a brother. Take the hand of your husband, your wife. Let's be the four men. Church, believers, wherever you are, if you brought a friend, take their hand. You're going to bring them down to the center stage with Jesus Christ. Praise God. Jesus is in the house. Hallelujah, Jesus is in the house. Jesus is in the house. I believe he's bringing healing right now. He's bringing healing right now to the brokenhearted, to the hurting. There's no more shame. You're free, you're free. You're free, he calls you sons and daughters. Hallelujah, pray this prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I come to you. Broken, hurting, I confess my sin to you. I believe you are my Savior. I believe you went to the cross and you died for me. You took my place. You died because of my sin. Forgive me, Jesus. Make me whole. Make me a new person. Heal my heart. Give me life. I thank you, Jesus, for what you did for me. I glorify you now. I thank you, and I'm a new person. set free from sin, to live for you. In your name I pray. Amen. Hallelujah.